Number 13, and it's I'm going to read the whole chapter, so I'll ask you to remain seated tonight just for the length of the reading. And this will probably be the first of a four-part message out of chapter 13. And basically what the Lord is going to do in this parable, He's going to talk about sowing seed, and we many times call it the parable of the sower. But I want you to understand that as we read this, you will understand that the seed that Jesus Christ is talking about is the Word of God. This is the seed of the Word. Amen. All right. So I grew up not on a farm, but I grew up where my dad did a lot of farming. So we didn't actually have a farm like a big farm in Missouri or Kansas or something like that. But I do have an idea about sowing seed, especially when it comes to corn. Now, the thing that we've got to look at tonight is this. What kind of seed does the seed fall upon? What kind of soil? And Jesus is going to talk about four different kinds of soil, and only one of them is going to produce fruit. So I want you to think about that. Jesus looks out among the people and says basically 25% of the people that He preaches to are willing with a good heart to listen to what God has to say. Now, if we're not careful, we don't want to be in the 75%. We don't want to allow the things of the world and a hard-hearted and a bad attitude or whatever it might be, not for us to hear the Word of God. So tonight, the first one that I'm going to deal with is the hard heart. And that's the worst of them all, but it's still one of the hearts. So just follow along with me as I read this parable that Jesus is talking about. And then what is good is that He actually answers or He gives an explanation of the parable. So we begin reading in verse number 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. So everybody get the idea. He's on the ship, and I've been on a hillside outside of Jerusalem, so I get this vivid imagination, I get this vivid picture in my mind how that you can see these hillsides and the farmers as they sow the seed. Now, they would sow the seed like this, and much of it would be grain, and it was going to fall on hard ground where there's been people walking, there's going to be stony ground. There's going to be other kind of ground, but then there's going to be that good ground that actually the seed gets into the soil and is able to do something. So here's the picture. And then He begins in verse 3 to speak many things unto them in parables. And in this one He says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up, and choked them. But other fell into the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall it be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So the Lord is doing a lot of preaching here. He said, I'm going to do this in parables. There's people that will not listen. They will not hear the Word of God, but blessed are those that hear the Word of God and those that do the Word of God. So now he says, I'm going to tell you the parable of the sower in verse 18. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was, notice this, sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Again, this is Matthew 13. Now we're in verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the world, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. Now notice this. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bring forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now very quickly go over to Luke chapter number 8, because we also have an insight here of this. Luke chapter 8, verse number 5. Again, I want to read this again. I know this is not as long. But a sower, verse number 5, Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. That means it set upon the ground, it was too hard. And some fell on a rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang forth and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Listen to that. He cried. Hear that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, verse 11 says this. This is the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. Verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, for which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And then he says, and then they that fall, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Praise God, verse 15 says, but that on the good ground they are, which is an honest and, look at this, what? Good heart. So he's talking about the types of heart that the Word of God fall upon. Having heard the Word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Lord, I pray that You'd help us tonight as we look at the parable of the sower. And we can only look at really one heart at a time for time's sake. And Lord, I pray for the hard heart tonight. I pray for anyone that would just come into church but is not willing to listen to the Word of God. And Lord, we understand tonight very clearly that the soil that we preach to is the heart. And the Word of God is the seed that is sown. So there may be someone here tonight that needs the seed of God's Word sown in their heart that they might be saved. I pray that they'd be able to understand. I pray the devil would not distract in any way. I pray that the cares of this world, that people would lay those things aside. I pray that we would not allow the devil to get any kind of victory when it comes to the preaching and the reading and the teaching of God's Word, but rather the Word of God would enter into our heart and we would have good soil there, soft soil, so that the Word of God can penetrate and do its work. In Jesus' name we ask, Amen. In the parable that we're looking at tonight, Jesus Christ, once again, as He often does, and also as Paul would do, uses agriculture to give us a picture of the Word of God and the heart of God's people as they listen to the Word of God, whether that is reading or teaching or preaching. Now, Jesus is preaching and He's teaching to many people. There's multitudes there. He has many things to say. Many of the things He says are spoken in parables. We know that a parable is an earthly illustration of a spiritual or heavenly or godly truth, a Word of God truth, something that needs to be understood. And here Jesus is talking about that to us, even tonight, when the Word of God is preached, there'll be some that the cares of this world have already choked everything out. They're only thinking about the pleasures and the things of this world. I've seen it where somebody will hear the Word of God, and just about the time that it's going to sink in, the devil comes by and tries to blind the minds of people that they would not listen to the Word of God. But praise God, there's those people that come into the house of God, and whatever the message is, they say, God, let my heart be such that it can receive the Word of God. And we all need to be like that tonight. The Word of God, the seed is the Word of God. I think about that seed, and listen, it's a great parable, and it's a great lesson. Because that seed, when it is sown, it goes every direction, and it goes all over the ground, and there's all kinds of different soils that that seed is going to fall upon. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, we read that the seed is the Word of God. Luke chapter 8. Verse number 11 makes that very clear. Now, the parable is this, that the seed is the Word of God. And verse number 12 makes it very clear that it's the hearts. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the Word out of their hearts. And then, because of that, they cannot believe and be saved. You have to hear the Word of God, but you also have to accept the Word of God. You have to listen to the Word of God, but you have to take the Word of God into your heart. You have to be a hearer of the Word of God, but you also have to be a doer of the Word of God. And the reason that there are different responses to the preaching of God's Word, it's always been amazing to me that the same message can be preached, but there can be several reactions to that preaching. There can be many reactions to that preaching. And always Jesus is trying to tell us through this parable that the reason that there will be different reactions to the Word of God being preached is because our hearts are in different places. Our hearts must be ready to receive the Word of God. People's hearts are hard. People's hearts are stony. People's hearts are wayward. And you never know who you're preaching to. You never know who really is listening, and you never know who really isn't listening. But I'll tell you this, only one out of four responses of the parable was given a positive response. Now, I know Jesus said that, and I know that He was preaching to a crowd, and I know that He knows more than anybody else. Now, we also know this. Many of those people, the multitudes, they didn't come to hear the Word of God. They came to be fed or to see a miracle. No, the Word of God has to be to us personally. It has to speak to us personally. And Jesus would later on say this, I know your hearts. I know why you came. You came because of the fishes and the loaves. You didn't come to listen to the Word of God and be a disciple. There's a lot of people come to the house of God for no other reason than to see what's going on, or maybe to hear what the music, or some special, or are we having a meal? You understand what I'm saying? People are like that. People come for the singing, but they don't want to hear the preaching. And I'm telling you, the truth is many people do not receive the Word of God well. If they did, I believe we'd have more of a revival. If 25% of people listen and respond to God's Word, Jesus is saying, hey, that's a high percentage. This parable is very valuable for us because we all need to understand that we should be convicted by God's Word when it's preached. There's no reason. I'm telling you, We should be convicted when we read the Word of God. We should be convicted when there's something that we're not doing that the Bible tells us that we should be doing. And when the sin in our life... Listen, we should be convicted tonight if we're not saved. Do you understand? Without Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins, we will die and go to hell. You say, I don't want to believe that. Listen, people would rather believe the lie of the devil than the truth of God's Word. People need to be saved. Well, the only way they can be saved is if they receive the Word of God into their heart. So first, it should convict us not to just come to church and say, well, I hope I can get something I can use. No, the truth of God's Word always, always, always has something to say to us. The second thing that this parable should do is burden us to continue in the Lord's work no matter what the results are. We are to be faithful. We are to preach the Word of God. We are to invite people to church. We are to hand out tracts. We are to be a witness. I don't see any reason why we know everybody in this room cannot pass out a tract at least one every week. Well, I'm kind of busy. Well, who ain't busy? Well, I'm kind of nervous. Who ain't nervous? We all go to Walmart. We all go to the doctor. It's getting quiet in here. The truth is we really don't know all the time what God is doing at a particular time in a particular heart. Somebody could have witnessed to somebody and we come along and just happen to say the right thing, give the right track at the right time, and that might put them in the place where they need to be saved. This parable should cause us to keep on keeping on no matter who listens and who does not listen. It is the task of proclaiming the Word of God is determined by a command and not the condition and the reception of the hearts of people you're preaching to. I told this story a couple of weeks ago, but it is amazing to me that you can have the same message preached to the same people and you have two different responses like I had, that I just didn't get anything out of it, and the other one was I just was overwhelmed by what God did in my heart. Now, what's the difference? One of those people's hearts was ready to receive the Word, and one of those was not ready to receive the Word. Even when the results may be few, we can remember what we learned in 1 Corinthians. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. We also need not to get despondent when somebody supposedly makes a dramatic conversion only to fade it away because of a stony heart. You've got, if it's a real conversion, real salvation, and real discipleship, you're going to keep on keeping on. Third, this parable needs to keep us from poor discernment. Many false professors make a profession and can even get baptized in great excitement, but the truth is their heart was not real. I was listening to a podcast today of a man who gave his testimony when he was 12 years old. He said, I got saved and baptized 5 times before I got saved. He said, I would hear the Word of God, I'd get excited, but I really made no commitment. I didn't repent. I didn't trust Christ as my Savior. He said, then he actually said it was Oliver B. Green that was preaching when he got saved. And he said, all I could think of is, okay, I need to be saved. This is real. I know I've done that other. And by the way, if you've made a false profession, the first thing the devil will do is try to get you to say, well, what will people think?
Right.
No. Don't listen to that. Right. If you need to be saved by the grace of God, it doesn't matter what people think. You need to have your heart real.
Right.
In tune with God. Anyhow, he said that. He said, man, I got saved. My life changed. Well, your life will change when you actually get saved. You need to understand, fourth, this parable will keep us from changing the method that we are using. We're not going to change our method of preaching the Word of God, dealing with people one-on-one, going from house to house. We don't need to change the seed. There's a movement going around today of changing the Word of God. Like the Bible is not sufficient, it's not easy to be understood. Hey, you can understand the Bible just fine. You know why people don't listen to the Bible? Because their heart, it's not got anything to do with the Bible. It doesn't have anything to do with the authorized King James Version of the Bible. It has everything to do with the heart that's listening to the Word of God. And we don't need to change the seed. It is the soil that must conform to the seed. The seed is not going to conform to the soil. You need to conform to the Word of God. And today we see many changing or reducing the seed, trying to gain a crown. Listen, remember this. The soil is our heart. And you know what? We need a broken heart. A contrite spirit. A spirit that is willing to do whatever God says based on what His Word says. The best kind of soil is, by the way, is good soil. Probably the best soil I've ever seen in my life, just personally. And I know there's good soil, but I saw the black soil of North Dakota where many potatoes are produced there. Man, that black soil. I mean, think about it. That rich black soil that produces a good crop. You know what? Now, soil that has been broken up and sifted that it might receive seed. When my dad, every year, that garden, at the end of the year, by the time that we came back to the spring to do the garden again, me and my brother had been on that go-kart, that big old go-kart that my dad bought me, and we had gone all around the edges of that. I mean, that gigantic garden was our go-kart track. And it was like a NASCAR ring. I mean, we went around and round and round and round. Well, by the time it got to the springtime, that soil was as hard as a rock. But my dad would get this disc, and he would put it on the tractor, and he would begin to disc that soil. Now, sometimes he wouldn't get it all because those edges were so hard. And he would disc that soil. Then after he disced that soil, after he disced it up, it would be in big chunks. Well, then he had this homemade thing. My dad worked for the railroad for like 40 years. So he had access to railroad ties. And so he chained these railroad ties in such a way that it would smooth, that it would break it up. And he would go around and round and round. And then he used four different tools to get the soil where it was almost like it was sifted. And then after it was all sifted this takes time. And you know, and now I look back and I think, well, that's like the preaching of the Word of God. It's hard. And then it gets a little bit, you know, then the Word of God starts. But it can be made softer and softer and softer. And by the way, God can make your heart soft. He can make your heart soft. And so finally the day would come when he would take everything off, and then he'd put this other thing on, and he'd make the rows. And then there would be corn, green beans, cucumbers, tomatoes. It's getting good, isn't it? All those things that he would make. And sometimes when we would be planting the corn seed, my dad would show us how to do it, and we helped him do it. But you know, every once in a while, one of them corns would hit one of them rocks and bounce up and land on the outside. Guess what? That thing ain't never going to produce any corn. So we need to be careful when we come to church that it don't just bounce off and land over here on the side. We need to understand that the soil is our heart. Now look at Matthew chapter 13. Back in our text, chapter 13. I'm just going to look at one verse here. And I want you to see. The sower went forth to sow in 3. But in verse 4, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. That's what I'm talking about. Hitting that, I remember that edge of that ground would be very hard. And maybe a corn thing would hit and bounce on. Now, they were talking about sowing the seed like this. So to us, sowing seed like that, probably the best way that we could best describe it for us today would be like sowing grass seed. That'd be the best way to describe it. Just sowing grass seed. And you've prepared the soil and everything's ready. Now we might, today to do grass seed, after we sowed the seed, we might put hay on top of it so that it would germinate and the water and it won't the bird. But listen, it doesn't matter. If you didn't do that, if you just go out there and sow seed, some of it's going to hit good ground. Some of it's going to hit stony ground. Some of it's going to, the birds are going to eat it. Some of it's going to happen in different ways. That's why you got to sow a lot of seed. But notice it says in verse 4, when he sowed the seed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Well, how is that? Because it was sitting on top of that hard soil. And so they had access to come and eat it. And what it's saying is the seed was taken away and it didn't do any good. That's a hard soil. That's a hard heart. The seed cannot penetrate hard soil. I was amazed last week, and I know I got the camp video. We're going to show it on Sunday night, Lord willing. And the reason we're doing it is to get us excited. I'm excited about how many people are excited about going to camp. I've had several people that have just been watching live stream and say, let me know when camp is. I want to go to camp. Two people this week told me, I want to go to camp. I want to go to camp. Shirley Ward texted me and said she got saved at Niagara Camp 64 years ago. And she wanted to go. Can I come up there to camp? Well, yes. But you know, I noticed last week, and of course I've noticed this VBS, I've noticed this in other camps, teen camps. Boy, the first night of camp preaching is not the same as the last night of camp preaching. Because the first night they've just come from wherever they've came and they're trying to get settled in, but you preach the Word of God and you realize, well, I think the Word might have hit some hard soil tonight. But by Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night, people were getting right with God, people were getting saved, and things were going on. You know why? Because the seed of God's Word was able to penetrate into the hearts of many people. I just thanked the Lord that it happened. That didn't really have anything to do with me. It doesn't have anything to do really with us. It has to do with the Word of God. All right? It has to do with the Word of God. But the seed that gets on hard soil, all it does is falls by the wayside, and it'll either be trodden on, turned aside, or eaten by a rodent. Oh, by the way, I caught another rat this week. Brother Steve Lewis gave me some good mouse traps. We live right by a goat farm, so every once in a while we hear one. Oh, yeah. And you know how Brother Shorter talked about, what did he say? What did you say? What do you use? Gummy bears. Well, I didn't have no gummy bears, but here's what I did have. I had fruit snacks. Same idea, amen? Works great. They love fruit snacks. Snap! Anyhow, it's pretty awesome. I've got three so far. And I think I got one more to get. My wife just loves when I catch retinoshina. You know what a hard heart is? A heart that's not interested. A heart that's not willing to reason, listen to the Word of God, not discerning. The unreasoning heart is a heart that is closed when the Word of God is being preached. They turn aside the Word of God whenever it is presented. And we'd say it like this in Tennessee, you can preach till the cows come home and it runs off of them like water off a duck's back because they're not interested. They're not listening. Some people simply reject the Word of God no matter how reasonable it is presented. And their heart is hard and they will not receive. But it doesn't take away the truth of God's Word. Because I got saved. I've listened to the Word of God before. There's been times when I didn't listen. But there's been times when I have listened. The Word of God, you know, here's what God says in 1 Corinthians. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I really believe this is where we're at in our world today. They don't comprehend God's Word. They may read it, but they don't understand it because they're not interested. They don't want to know. It reminds me of the Ethiopian eunuch who had gone to Jerusalem. And he didn't get anything, but he's reading Isaiah, and God allowed Philip, through the Holy Spirit of God, says to Philip, go over there, this man is interested in spiritual things. And he goes over there, and he's reading Isaiah, and Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I except some man explain it to me? Yes, so he explained it to him, and he received the Word of God. He got saved. He was baptized. And by the way, Philip was from the church at Jerusalem, so he had authority from the church at Jerusalem. He got baptized, and then this man went to Ethiopia, and it is said in secular history that there was a revival that took place. Now, we can't prove it, but you have to have an idea that it was probably the Ethiopian eunuch. But listen, it was because he was interested in spiritual things. He was you know what? Sometimes people just come into church off the, you know, somebody didn't invite them. A lot of times I'll see on the card, how did you hear about the church? They said, we just came by. You know what that tells me? That there's a possibility that they're interested in spiritual things. Well, if they're interested in spiritual things, there better be a preacher preaching the Word of God when they come into church. How disappointing would it be to say, I'm interested in spiritual things. I want to know what God has for me. Go to church, and then they never open the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we learned in 1 Corinthians a couple of weeks that preaching should be the preeminence. There's people today that are interested in politics and sports and business, but they're not interested in God. They don't see anything interesting. You can get these people to come to a singing, a church supper, but don't ask them to come to a revival meeting where the Word of God... Well, don't y'all have anything else besides preaching? No, we don't. That's what we do. That's what we do. In Luke chapter 8, in verse number 5, Luke chapter 8, in verse number 5, it says it like this. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Now, here's what I want you to see. It's a little bit different. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. You know what that means? It means they walked over the seed. They treated the seed with disrespect. They count the Word of God as nothing. Why? Because their heart is hard. They say it is nothing but worthless fables. They disrespect the seed. And I'm telling you, my friend, that is a dangerous ground to walk upon, to disrespect the Word of God. If someone says, well, this is what the Bible says concerning this matter, and they scorn the Scripture, and think the Bible is not relevant, there's no hope for them. Because you're not going to be saved by reading the Far Side. Now, you will laugh a lot. I will tell you this. Somebody sent me a little thing of a Far Side, and it brought me back to my childhood memory. There's a lot of people who don't even know what the Far Side is in here. May God help you. So I decided to go on Amazon and see if I could find any, and I did. I found me one, a little book. So I've been reading it every day. Now, let me just tell you something about the Far Side. Some of it, I can't even understand it myself. But the parts I can, it's hilarious. Brother Carl Ray used to love the Far Side. Now, let me get back to this. Some people are just very hard. Rude, selfish, and mean when it comes to the Word of God. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, the word is trodden. The word trodden is used in Hebrews 10:29, and they're talking about trotting down the Son of God. Same thing. When you trod the Word of God, you're trotting the Son of God. When you disrespect the Word of God, you're disrespecting the Son of God. When you don't listen to the Bible, you're not listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Another consequence concerning a hard heart is seed will be taken away. Again, Luke chapter 8, verse 5, Luke 8, 5, it says, and it was trodden down. And then it says this, and the fowls of the air devoured it. It's taken away. To me, this would not be a surprise. The heart does not receive the Word, and the birds can quickly come and take it away. Now, the source who takes away the Word of God is Satan. He is the one who snatches away the Word of God. In Luke chapter 4, in verse number 15, Luke chapter 4, back just a little bit, in verse number 15. And Jesus, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 4, that didn't make no sense. I apologize. Mark chapter 4, in verse number 15. I got the right verse written down, but I said the wrong one. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says this, "And these are they by the wayside which the word is sown, but when they've heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." You know what the devil tries to do? Blind the minds of people so that they will not believe the glorious gospel. Luke says the devil. Matthew says the wicked one. Mark says Satan. And I guarantee you, Satan will use anyone he can to do his dirty work. Anyone he can. Satan's program is to take away the word of God from people so they will be hards. Now think about this. Listen to our society. Schools have taken God out of school. The legislators have taken the Ten Commandments away. Colleges today are anti-God. Evolution is taught as a fact, and all of that is because it removes the Word of God. Now, I think about, well, how'd that turn out? Well, it hadn't turned out very good. Satan has done a very good job in taking away God's Word, even in churches. Even in churches. No wonder. If we feel like the agenda of the church and society with everything but God, then what do we expect but hard hearts? This devouring of the seed keeps people from being saved, and it keeps revival out of churches. In Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "Satan comes quickly." The word is used immediately. As soon as the word of God is preached, listen, as soon as the word of God is preached, the devil's going to try to hinder you. Especially if you're here tonight without Christ. There is a way to be saved. The word of God. In fact, the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. And there is power in the gospel. There is power in the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Because it is the word of God. We need God's word in our heart. You see, Satan actually knows that many church members have forgotten that it is the word of God is the most valuable of all things. As soon as the word of God is preached, he wants to take it away. He wants to do away with it. Do you know sometimes, listen to this, sometimes the Word of God can be preached, the text can be explained, and you can be on your way home and ask, "Well, what was preached today?" "Well, I forgot." You know what happened? The devil got the victory. You can't even remember what was preached 10 minutes after it was preached. When you reject and despise the Word of God, sooner or later, the privilege of having and hearing the Word of God will be taken away. One of the greatest judgments God could place on a person or a church is to lose the Word of God and just grow plain, cold, and hard. Amos chapter 8. I was reading through this and I thought, man, I'm going to stick this right in my message. Because Amos said it like this. And I know it's a different time. Amos is speaking to the nation of Israel, but here's what he said. But I think the application is very true right here when we talk about a hard heart. Amos 8:11 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the Word of God and shall not find it." Now I want you to listen to this. You can have the best teacher in the world when it comes to teaching you how to do something. Best baseball teacher I ever had. His two sons were on our baseball team, and he was interested in teaching the fundamentals of baseball. And I learned as an 8-year-old boy the fundamentals of baseball. That from that point, I never forget that teacher. He was such a good teacher. He was very patient. He would hit ground balls after ground balls, showed you how to do footwork. He knew how to do footwork if it was second base, shortstop, or third base. And I learned shortstop and second base, eventually play. And the footwork is different. And he taught the fundamentals of that. You can have a great piano player, teacher. And I hope many people have a good piano teacher. You can have a guitar teacher. I had Peanut Faircloth taught me how to play the guitar. You say, was his real name Peanut Faircloth? Yep, it sure was. But if you don't practice every day the activity that you're being taught, if you don't put into practice what's being said, if you don't play that piano every day, or that guitar every day, or learn those fundamentals of that sporting activity every day, it is no different than a hard heart when it comes to the preaching and the teaching or the reading of your Bible. The application is the same. You can have a preacher that preaches his heart out with passion and explains it exactly what the Bible is saying, but if you don't listen and put it into practice in your life, it won't do you any good. We must hear God's Word. We must let it enter into our heart. And our heart must be soft and pliable and not a heart like a hard rock. Our Lord wants us to be disciples, willing to be hearers and doers of God's Word. Come to church ready with a heart, not that is hard. Nothing will be accomplished. Now, if you came here tonight and your heart is not where it's supposed to be, you will leave with nothing. But if you came with a soft heart, you will come back next time with a burden to not let the cares of the world and the things of the world and the devil or the distractions or what's going on outside of these walls. Listen, if nothing else, this should be a time where we say, God, work in my heart. Whether it's the preeminence of preaching, whether it's discipleship, whether it's the Word of God itself, whether you're here tonight and you're without Christ. Listen, if you're here without Christ, the seed of God's Word wants to speak to your heart. It wants to show you that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. You can be forgiven, but you'll have to come to Him as a sinner. And you have to be willing to give Him everything. And if you are, He'll save you. Amen. How do I know that? Because that's what the Word of God says. That's the seed of the Word of God. Now, Jesus is saying, now listen, I'm going to tell you all these parables. I'm going to sow this seed. And I'm going to tell you right now, the hearts are out there that are not willing to listen. It's going to fall on stony ground. They're there for the miracles. They're there to be fed. They're there for some other reason. Some people come to church because they want to sell their insurance. Some people come to church because they want to see their friends. Some people come to church because their parents make them go to church. But we should come to church because we want to come to church and we want to hear the Word of God. And we won't just hear the Word of God tonight, but in the morning we'll get up and read the Word of God, digest the Word of God, pray. And if we read the Word of God every day and then we come to church, we'll get a whole lot more out of it because our heart is more ready to be receptive. Amen. We want to do what God wants us to do. So don't, as James said, don't just be a hearer of the Word of God. Be a doer of the Word of God. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. What a parable before us tonight. Come to church ready to hear the Word of God. I think about the parable of the creditor and the debtors. And Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And I'm telling you, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace, he would say to her. So maybe you're here tonight and you can understand the analogy of someone that listens to the Word of God. Someone that listens to their teacher or has a good teacher to instruct them in the piano or a sporting activity, but they never get anywhere because they don't put it into practice. That's the same idea as having a hard heart. God, help me with my heart tonight that it would be soft. Now, let me just tell you this. Things happen, the cares of this world, trials and tribulation, heartaches and burdens can come. And we'll be thinking about those things rather than what God is trying to do in our heart at any given moment. If you need to come tonight, do business with God, you come right now. Father, we love you. Thank you for the Word of God tonight. And this parable that the Lord gives is about the soil. And Lord, we have got to ask you to not let our hearts be hard, but that our hearts would be soft and pliable so that the Word of God can enter, that seed can enter into our heart and do things like bring forth fruit. Lord, our hearts can't bring forth fruit if it's hard, but it can bring forth fruit if it's soft. God, help us to have soft hearts, broken and contrite spirits, hearts that are broken. Lord, we know from the Word of God you use broken hearts. You don't use hard hearts, and you don't use prideful hearts. You use soft hearts. So help us tonight, Lord, to have a soft heart. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 398, John's going to lead us, "My Jesus, I Love Thee." 398, we'll sing that together. But you need to do business with God. You need somebody to pray with you. You're just not sure. Maybe God has spoken to your heart in some way. You're not even exactly sure how to put it into words. You want somebody to pray with you. You want to be saved tonight. God's working in your heart somehow. You come tonight and do business with me.
My Jesus, I love
you. Need to come. I'll pray with you. My wife will pray with you. Somebody will pray with you. Say, I think we need to use the altar a lot more than we do sometimes. Please pick one up. Be praying for the needs that are on our list tonight. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Brother Gary Yates, would you dismiss us, please?
Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you let us come tonight in the middle of the week and hear your word preached again, hear these songs sung. Lord, thank you for the message tonight. We need to hear from you every day. Lord, I pray that you'll bless us tonight and dismiss us tonight. I pray that you'll guide and direct each one of us as we go home. Lord, protect us from the cares of the world. And Lord, bring us back on Sunday. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.